the battle, the victory, is here and here. When you win it, others will know, and you won't have to say a word. Fight the battle, right here, right now. You could do it at home, but thank you for doing it here. So, Mom, if you'll play a little music, we'll do a few minutes of prayer, and then I'll say a word. There was a person who used to come to this church for a little bit, and they left, and then I got an email. Won't go into all the email, talking about how they were offended at what I had said, and I felt bad. I don't want to offend anybody. The prime beneficiary of what I'm doing here is this guy right here. The secondary beneficiaries are my children and my family members and my dumb cats. and my tertiary beneficiaries or anybody else who comes into contact with me. I do my best to share what's going on in my life, my triumphs and my failures, and I pray to God that it helps people too. But right or wrong, we're all on our own journey. And I'm trying to save my life, dude. I'm trying so hard. I was miserable for years. For years, just in the dark, misery. And the growth that I've had, I mean, if I could bottle it, I would. I only say that because I could not get any wisdom and joy until I was ready to change and grow. Did that make sense? I lived for so long believing I knew what was right. I sat in the back and pursed my lips and crossed my arms and thought self-righteous thoughts. Which is fine. I'm not my father. And I didn't need to agree with him. The only thing that I needed to do was be open to the fact that maybe I didn't know everything. Shocking, I know. Could you believe it? There's like two or three things I didn't know, but I'm learning them. So today, last week we talked about, how the Lord is the vine dresser. And you got to prune. And as we were leaving, Jude was like, "Dad, that was just terrible. You just dropped the ball. It was boring and confusing. I couldn't make heads or tails of it. So since it was such a terrible sermon, I'm going to give it another run today. We're going to try and get better." But I was talking to Stephen Brown afterwards, and he reminded me, remember, Jesus is talking to the people in a time where they would have known the metaphors and examples he's giving. We do not live in an agrarian society. So the words that he's saying to our modern ears seem confusing. And so it's kind of hard to fit a square peg in a round hole. So when we're looking at the gospel, we got to try and decipher it and see where they're coming from. And I think it's important to remember, me personally, that the terms and the nouns are not as important as the ideas. Like I said before, I knew this girl at Trader Joe's, and her name was Vanessa, wherever you are, Vanessa, I hope you're doing well. And she would come in and say, "Hey, Gabe, how's it going?" I'd be like, "Good, good." And she's like, "Yeah, the universe wants good things for you." And I'd be like, "Yeah, dude, that sounds awesome." And she'd be like, "Yeah, you know, your Mercury's in retrograde, and, you know, your air element." I was like, "Yeah, dude, tight." And she'd be like, "Yeah, and I read your chart, and good things are going to happen for you. Awesome." And then I would come to Redeemer, and Miss Bradshaw would be like, "Hey, God wants good things for you." I'm like, "Yes, sounds so good." And she'd be like, "And I was reading the Bible, and I was praying about it, and good things are coming your way." I'm like, "Yeah, dude, sounds great." But if they talked to each other, they would yell and argue and shake their heads and dismiss each other because they're worried about the words, right? If I tried to tell Vanessa that God wants something good for her, she would be like, "You're an idiot, you closed-minded bigot." But if I said the universe wants something good for you, you'd be like, "Yeah, dude, me too." You understand? We got to be willing to let it go. As if a word could encapsulate a being that is everywhere at once and has existed before time or space. Right? It's like me trying to teach my cats trigonometry. The very idea that you could understand something like that is arrogance. Especially for those of us who aren't really spending time doing it every day. Right? Watching TikTok for 2 hours and then it says, "Oh yeah, that's right. You understand what I'm saying?" So we got to be willing to change. So when Jesus is talking about the vine dresser and about the plants that produce good fruit and the plants that produce bad fruit, he was speaking to people who were planting things. And everything that I've planted has died. Tomato plants, roses, I'm a plant serial killer. My daughter's not any better than I am. She's whatever the opposite of a green thumb is, she's got. But in order to keep a plant healthy and have it produce good fruit, you must prune withering leaves and branches. But here's where Stephen let me know a little bit about the truth. Also, people would graft on healthy trees or trees that had produced good fruit. They would graft into the unhealthy plants to produce better fruit. Did that make sense? Me not being a farmer, I didn't know about grafting and pruning. And most people didn't. And so when Jesus talks about cutting off branches that don't produce good fruit, they think, oh, those are the bad people, and then they get thrown into the hell. But the good people, they get all of the good stuff. But I would argue that we are all of the plants. And the branches that produce bad fruit and good fruit are thoughts and actions. Did that make sense? So as I'm living my life, if the actions and thoughts that I am creating are causing me pain and heartache, those are bad fruit, and I got to cut them off. You may not have a problem with the same bad fruit that I do. You may not have a problem fearing the future, and I do. So, but you have your own bad fruit, and the Lord will lead you to the bad fruit. And then the best thing to do is cut it off. Not for me, not for him, for yourself. I'll give you an example. I have self-loathing that is deep, bone-deep self-loathing. It comes out when I'm in the shower, after my sermons, at night when I'm alone. And it plays a movie of all of the stupid things. And it's longer than Dances with Wolves. This movie is long, brothers. Because of all the foolish things that I've done in my life, there is a lot of stuff to watch. But the problem is, watching those movies in my mind and remembering all of those things and hating myself for all of that stuff is bad fruit that produces pain in my life. And I don't have a time machine to go back and change it. So the only thing I can do is cut it off. I gotta let it go. But that's not good enough, because it will grow back unless I graft on good fruit. So it's not enough, in my mind, to just say I'm not going to be self-loathing anymore. It's that I'm going to try, every time I notice myself getting into that habit of self-loathing, I am going to change the bad fruit and graft on the good fruit of the Holy Spirit by spending time in prayer. That makes sense? So this morning I was upset, I was angry, I was frustrated, and then all of the things that I was frustrated about started to play in my mind. I work so hard, I work 7 days a week. The kids can't do the one thing that I asked them to do. I rescued those cats. They were in a kennel, and I came and saved them. They won't even come into the house. I paid good money for this coffee machine. This is what you get. Things back in the day, they used to make things that last. Nowadays, everything's flimsy, made in China. Of course, it fell apart. Right? Cut off that bad fruit. But if I was just thinking, don't think, don't think, don't think, that's not good. It won't last. So instead, I went into my room, and just for a few minutes, I sat down in prayer. And I didn't pray, Jesus, please help me to not hate myself and be frustrated. I tried to clear my mind. Because once I can clear my mind, I can allow the Holy Spirit to come in. Because it's already there. Did that make sense? I got to give it room to graft into my life. So we may not understand grafting and pruning and sowing and reaping. So maybe if Jesus were here today, he would use technical computer terms like programming. Many of us have seeds planted, or today they would call it your programming. I've got programming that runs automatically. It's like my BIOS system, if you guys know about computer systems. I've got Richard Fraser programming so deep in my medulla oblongata that I'll be washing the dishes and start singing a song that he used to sing that made no sense. If I had a hammer. He sang like this Mamas and the Papas Carpenters song to Britney Spears. Yeah. Because it's like so deep inside me, sometimes I am Richard Fraser and I don't even know. Or sometimes I'm my mother and something weird, some bad sound will come. I go, ooh. There is so much programming from my parents, from society, from my own actions and thoughts and behaviors that it's deep inside. Some of it produces good fruit. My parents programmed me to be loyal. And that's a good thing, and it produces good fruit because I feel good when I'm of service. But some of the programming that I have received and that I have created is bad fruit, and therefore needs to be taken out. Our thoughts, feelings, and emotions have grown deep into our minds and behaviors over the course of our lives. In order to enter the kingdom of heaven, we must be willing to change, and willing to change drastically. So let's say I wanted to do something boring and lame like surf. I'm just joking. Jack, that was for you. Let's say that I wanted to surf, right? Well, in order to surf, you've got to wake up early, right? You got to have a surfboard. You got to be in relatively good shape. You have to be able to know where to go. There's all of these behaviors that you have to learn. But if you don't wake up early, if you're somebody like my son who wakes up afternoon, this is not conducive to surfing. So he's got to change. He's got to get rid of his old programming before he can learn the new programming. Let's look at a Bible verse, shall we? Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 29. Now large crowds were gathering along with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." It's pretty shocking. Hate your own kids, hate your own mother and father. I would argue that it means all of the programming, all of the things in our life that we think we need to have exactly as they are, we need to be willing to let them go. My daughter is going into high school next year, and I hate it. I hate it so much, Donna. I often joke with her, "I'm going to shoot you with a shrink ray and turn you back into the little chubby green-eyed girl that I knew." Now that she's almost in high school, she wears rings. You know how I feel about that? I hate that too. I don't like it. And she wears different clothes, which I also hate. She's growing into a young woman, and I hate it. Because when I'm honest with myself, the reason that I hate it is because I'm afraid. I love my little girl, and I want to keep it. I want to keep her just the way she is, the way she has always been. She comes into my room and lays on the bed while I'm doing something important, like playing video games. And we talk, and we joke, and we eat Taco Bell and watch Frozen or whatever it is. And the programming that runs my life says she's going to grow up, Gabriel. She's going to get a boyfriend, and she's not going to want to talk to you, and she's going to start listening to the, and she's going to do all of these things. And I'm frightened, and I don't want her to leave, and I want her to stay the way that she is, and I want her to be the way it is. But there's nothing I can do about the fact that she's growing older. My son is 20 years old and works at Trader Joe's. And it's magnificent. When he was a young boy, I didn't want him to grow up either. But it wasn't until I accepted his change that I found joy. Did that make sense? I could fight it and fight it and fight it all I want. She's still getting older. I gotta hate the fact that she's a kid. I gotta be willing to let it all go so that I can be happy. Because if I continue to treat her like a child, she will resent me. But treating her like an adult scares me. So who should change, I wonder? Probably her, right? No. Me. I gotta change. You understand? I'm trying to pull into Coffee Bean this morning. There was a lady who was 185 years old driving a large car. You couldn't pull in. She blocked the whole thing. Ugh. She doesn't need to change. I gotta change. You understand? I could sit there and grit my teeth, but she's still gonna drive slowly in a very large car. And I'm trapped. I'm bound up. Because the programming in my mind says, I'm going fast. I got places to be. I'm busy. I'm important. How dare she? Drive slowly in Los Angeles? I'm the one who changes. I got to be willing to let it all go. Everything must be put on the chopping block. That doesn't mean I need to chop it. It just means that I have to be willing to put it there. Do I need to change this, Lord? Pray about it. Nope. There's happiness there. Bring it back up. Do I need to be willing to change this, Lord? Yes. Chunk. It's revolutionized my life. It's revolutionized it. I can't even tell you. I wish I'd have like a live stream body camera. Smiling like an idiot at Trader Joe's. Could you believe it? The programming that tells me that I got to be at home with my children playing video games to be happy. I've got to cut it off. Because only then can I reprogram myself into happiness. Yesterday I was meeting with Judd. When I first started being the pastor, I was terrified. Who are you, Gabriel? What are they going to say? They know what you did. They know who you are. They're going to pick you apart, dude, and you deserve it. Programming. They kept me bound up. You understand? You think that things are the way they are, but they're not. They're only that way because you believe they are. You've been lied to. You've been robbed from. How then do we change? I'm glad you asked, Joanne. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 through 6. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" They're programmed to think the best person sits to the right hand of God, and the guy who sucks the most sits all the way down at the bottom. And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." You don't have to become a child, because children, even though they're happy, don't know as much as you. You must be like a child, because a child is still young, full of hope, and teachable. Try to teach people my age, and you're going to have a tough time of it. Do you know why? Because everything was better when they were young, and everything's changing and sucks now. Have you heard music these days, Connie? That's not music. Do you understand? You've programmed yourself. I've programmed myself for 42 years into believing what the world is, and when it's not that, I am upset. But I gotta be like a child. I gotta be born again. So the Lord can teach me, so he can lead me out. Should I be able to drive fast through traffic? Maybe, but it ain't happening. So the Lord has got to admonish me and help me along. Let it go, Gabe. Just wait. She'll drive out of the parking lot, and then you will go in. And now I moved from my unhappy programming to my peace. That makes sense? The cat's gone. I think of all of the terrible things. What if the cat gets eaten by a dog, and then my daughter's is sad, and then... Peace. Peace, Gabriel. It will be well. It will be well. Everything's falling apart, and it will be well. Do you know why it will be well? Because no matter what happens, I will be able to figure it out. If my daughter gets a boyfriend, I will find out how to kill him and dispose of the... No, I'm just joking. Whatever happens, a new job... I think to myself all the time, if I was this man that I am now, then the relationship that I had wouldn't have ended the way that it did. Did that make sense? Because I was waiting for her to change, and she was waiting for me to change. And it all fell apart. And I was right. I was the most right. Of course I was right. I wasn't right. But that's okay. Even in that circumstance, happiness is mine. That makes sense because everywhere I go, being like a child means we're willing to be led, to be taught, and to grow. I work 7 days a week. I say that all the time, not as a complaint. I work 7 days a week. If you had spoken to Gabriel years ago, and said, you're going to work more than you ever have, and you're still going to be broke. Because I've been programmed to think that work sucks, vacation is awesome, and money's cool. Two of those things are true. Money is cool, and vacation is awesome. But work doesn't suck. It only is awful if you believe it's awful. And I know some people, whenever they hear that, think, like, easy for you to say. Yeah, it is easy for me to say. It's the easiest thing to say in the world. Saturday night, everybody else is going out and doing stuff. I got to work at Trader Joe's. I could think to myself, Trader Joe's, I bet you there's going to be somebody who goes in there and asks me a question, and then I stock the milk, and I'm going to move the milk. I have to go to Trader Joe's regardless. It's happening, Gabriel. Only your mind can be changed. And so I think to myself, Lord, help me find happiness. And then I slow my breathing, I calm my thoughts, and he reveals to me how lucky I am to be able to work at Trader Joe's. It's a good place. There's wonderful people who work there. And it allows me to feed my children whom I love dearly. I cut out the bad fruit, and I graft on the good fruit, and it's changed everything. Everything. The loss of my father and sister used to be a source of pain. I missed them. I still miss them, but the pain of their loss is replaced with the peace, the knowledge that I am doing something that makes them proud, and the promise that I'll see them again. Nothing is darkness that doesn't turn to light when it's touched by light. But when you're dark, you hide because you're afraid and you're alone. But you're not alone. And you never have been. Take time. I'll close with this. Take time. Take time. Take time to seek him. Take time. Start out a minute a day. Set your timer. Before you even come up with your list, just set a timer. I'm going to slow my breath. I'm going to stop thinking about all of those things that scare me and worry me and upset me. And he'll be faithful. He'll find you there, dude. He will. You can be in a dark place and you can't see your way out. Years ago, strung out, alone, broke. How am I going to get out of this? I'm out. My dad's gone. They're going to take the house. How are we ever going to get out of this? I'm out. You understand? I'm bulletproof. Adamantine armor. Because no matter what happens, here and here is clearer than it's ever been. And the clearer I get, the more clearly I can see. And the more clearly I can see, the more I can love. And the more I can change, and the more I can grow. It's awesome. It's so awesome, dude. We got it all wrong. We've had it all wrong. The blind leading the blind. Take time this week, and you will see rewards. Bear good fruit. Come back next week and tell me about it. If you'll bow your head, I'll close in prayer, and then we'll find these girls, and they're going to play a song called Sack of Bells. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this place. Thank you for these wonderful people. But above all, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for not giving up on us. Help us this week, Lord. Guide us. Remind us. Lead us. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Give us a heart to understand. Protect us. And bring us back next week, filled with the good news. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.